Good morning. The other day I was driving to work, and kitty corner from my where I turn into my office is a baseball field, a little league field, and on it was a gigantic sign that said, "Sign up Saturday, 10 a.m. Little league baseball is a really great little sport. Any of you ever had the opportunity to watch it if you don't have sons or friends with people with sons? Maybe you've not got to. But when you first begin to play as a little guy, or gal, I guess, as well, you play t-ball. And t-ball, for those of you who do not know, is a little tube at the batter's, you know, and he just has to hit the ball off that tube. And everyone gets a position in the outfield. And the outfield is little when you start out with t-ball. And the coaches have told those players what to do. They've told the batter, hit the ball. Do with all your might, just hit the ball off that tube. And the coach of the outfield says, run to the ball. That's it. Run to the ball. He's given them their commandments. So that little guy goes up to that ball that's sitting on the tube, and with all his might, he hits the ball, and it goes into the outfield. And every single player, the first baseman, the third baseman, the pitcher, they all run to that ball because that's what they were told to do. And they all scramble to get that ball. They are excited, and the parents in the stand, they're cheering for the batter. They're cheering for the outfield. Of course, the batter makes it all the way around because everyone, and it was in the infield and outfield stand, they're looking at the ball. What do we do now? We run to it. But everyone is just so excited, the parents, the kids, they're playing baseball. As the years pass, though, that game begins to change a little bit. With each age bracket, the field seems to get bigger, and the distance from home plate to first base seems like a mile if you have short legs. And the game maybe gets a little more complicated. The coach still tells you to hit the ball as hard as you can. He tells you to hit it out of the ball field. The coach of the people in the outfield is like, they're kind of given a box to work in. Don't just run all the way across the field. You're backing up this person. You're working here. They still have instructions. The batter hits the ball. It goes into the outfielder, out into the outfield, and the outfielder drops the ball. And you hear the grumbles and the sighs through the stands. How could that kid have done that? That ball came right to him. You hear him. Or maybe the hitter goes up, one strike, two strikes, three strikes, you're out. Again, you hear the grumbles in the stands, and that player stomps, sometimes, not all the time, sometimes stomps off that field, and maybe he even gets into the dugout and he pitches his helmet. Throws a little kind of fit. Another time, ball is hit. The runner's running to third base, and he slides. Everyone in the stands is cheering because he's safe, and the ump calls, out! Fans argue and disagree because we all saw it as safe. Not a question in our minds. Sometimes the game doesn't go all that well. And many a player gets in the car for the ride home and says, I'm not coming next week. I'm not coming to practice. I'm done with this game. This game stinks. I'm a lousy player. There's nothing in it for me. And they don't want to come back to the next game. As I thought about this, it's much like our walk with the Lord. When we first come to the Lord, we are excited. We'll do anything. We'll do whatever's asked of us. And we do it with excitement and joy. But as we continue to walk, some of that excitement begins to dwindle. And our desire to do whatever is asked of us begins to diminish. We don't always like to do what we're asked to do as we get older. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, we come to you this morning, Lord God, and thank you that you are on the throne. That you are in control. We thank you that you have given us an opportunity to come together as the body of Christ this morning. And Lord God, I come to you just as your humble servant. And Lord, once again, I have nothing for your people, but you have everything. I ask you to use me as your mouthpiece. I ask you to speak to your people. I ask you to speak to their hearts. I ask you to change us, Lord. Let us walk away from here different from when we walked in these doors. Lord, we give you this service. And we ask you to rule and reign here in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. If I were to ask you this morning, who do you live your life for? A lot of you would quickly say, Jesus! But if I rephrase that question just a little bit and ask you, who do you live your life for every minute of every day? Does that answer change? Changes for me. Because I put some Leah in there, and I might even put some Michael, Aaron, and Isella in there. It isn't always Jesus, if we're honest with ourselves. Did you know that Kate Middleton, all this will make sense after a bit. Trust me. Did you know that Kate Middleton took the word obey out of her wedding vows? Maybe you go, oh my gosh, the royal family did that. She wasn't the first. Princess Diana did it. They didn't want the word obey in their vows. Michael and I have been married for over 16 years. And I asked him yesterday, did we say the word obey in our vows? Well, we couldn't quite remember, and then we decided probably not because we wrote our own. And I know where I was 16 years ago in my walk, and I'm pretty sure I did not say obey because no one on the face of this earth was going to tell me what to do and when to do it. So I'm sure I omitted that word out of my vows. There's going to be a wedding out here today on the lawn. I wonder if they will say the word obey in their vows. If I would have the understanding and the knowledge I have today, if I would have had it 16 years ago, I'm sure I would not have left the word obey out of my vows. Obedience is something each and every one of us struggles with. And I think we struggle with it because we want to do things that feel good. Who wants to do something that doesn't feel all that great or makes us struggle or stretches us? My kids, they don't so much say it now, but years ago would say, it's too hard. I don't want to do that because it's too hard. We want things easy. We don't want to struggle. But brothers and sisters, obedience is not about a feeling. It's not about a feeling at all. It's about what is right. And I know most of you would say, well, I'm obedient to God. And I know just about everyone here in this room, and I would say you do have obedience to God. But do we really have obedience to God in everything He tells us to do? Again, I have to look at that answer honestly and say, nope. In the big things, I'm right there. In every little thing that He asks us to do, no, I'm probably not as obedient. We're not as obedient over some of the little things, some of the things that maybe don't make us feel so good. Prayer meeting, we're not obedient to prayer meeting. Look around today. Is there someone that, is there a face that you normally see in church that you don't see today? Are you going to call them and see how they are later today, tomorrow? Check up on them. Tell them they were missed. Are we obedient to helping out a single mom in our church who may be struggling, never says a word to us? But we know what the struggle is as a married couple with children. It's got to be tougher if you're single. When was the last time anyone went to one of the widows in our church and said, hey, is there some work I can help you with in your home? Maybe they just need some pictures hung or the windows outside washed. I don't know, the yard raked. When was the last time? When was the last time we swallowed our pride? How about reached out to somebody that's not in our normal circle? I'm sure you get the idea if you start to do an inventory of yourself. Some of us just won't do everything that God calls us to do because it just doesn't feel right, or we're not going to get recognition because no one will see us do it. If you would this morning turn to the book of Acts, you probably thought I was never going to get to Scripture. Acts chapter 5, starting with verse 22. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. Now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priest heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be the Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel for forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those whom obey him. When the apostles were told to stop preaching, in Jesus' name they responded, "We must obey God rather than man." Sometimes the voice of the world or man, we allow it to speak over what God commands us to do. The apostles didn't. In Galatians 6:7 it says, "Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap." Every action has an impact on your life, good or evil. Everything that you decide to do is going to have an impact. It may not only impact your life, but it'll impact the others around you. Ask someone who's addicted to drugs who they're hurting, and they're going to say, "Just myself." Their family is distraught. They may have friends they've hurt. It's affected everyone that comes in contact with them. So everything that you do for good and evil has an impact. Usually it determines the quality of our lives. The Bible says, "Be sure your sin will find you out," in Numbers 32:23. I want you to think for a minute, or imagine, how different the word would be if mankind knew what disobeying God would cost. Adam and Eve would never have eaten that forbidden fruit. Started in the beginning, disobedience. The nation of Israel would have chosen to fight for the promised land the first time around instead of wandering 40 years in the desert. And after seeing Bathsheba bathing, David would have turned away and walked back inside. Jonah would have willingly traveled to Nineveh to preach the word of God. The word would be different if it weren't for disobedience. But we serve a God who is so gracious and so loving, who blesses his children, who rewards us, and his word tells us that as well. Noah was asked to build a massive boat, and the people of the day laughed at him, made fun of him, told him he was crazy. But who really had the last laugh when the flood came? He was spared, he and his family. Moses had to appear before the Pharaoh, the leader of a powerful civilization, and demand freedom for the Israelites. And ultimately, the people were allowed to go because he kept doing what God told him to do. Joshua was told to march around Jericho for 7 days instead of relying on the military tactics that he knew. God destroyed the enemy. Nehemiah boldly asked the Babylonian king for supplies to rebuild Jerusalem and received everything that was needed, including guards to help him safely reach the city. While in captivity, Daniel and his three friends refused to eat meat because it was not prepared according to the Hebrew dietary laws. And yet they were healthier than any of the other young men around them. And the apostles refused to stop preaching, even though they were threatened with imprisonment. God rewards obedience. He is a good God. But yet we as people don't always want to obey because it doesn't feel right. It's timing's off. I don't know. We have 1,000 excuses. I'm speaking just for myself, okay? I can come up with all kinds of excuses. But I want to encourage you this morning about obedience, because that's something that you have to do a self-inventory of. And what do you need to change? And as believers, one, we must believe that God is sovereign. In Psalm 103:19, it says, "The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all." He is a sovereign God. For some of us, this next one's a tough one. We need to trust. I've often said, I don't trust anybody. But we need to trust God, that He will work for our good in every situation and circumstance. In Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." All things work together for good. I've seen that in my own life. When I think things are impossible, you know, God sees all. And I'm just reminded this morning of circumstance in my life that many of you have heard 1,000 times, and so I'm sorry, I'm going to say it again. It was probably 12 years ago. Michael and I, it was over 12 years ago, probably 16 years ago. But Michael and I desired a family. We prayed for a family. God, give us a family. For whatever known reason, God had chosen for me not to have children in the natural way. Not sure why. Well, I can see now, probably. But probably some 12 years ago, a 4-year-old little boy sat in a Sunday school class in Naco, Mexico. And when Sunday school teacher said, "Does anyone want to pray for something?" He raised his hand and said, "Can we pray for a mom and a dad for my sister and I?" We knew nothing of this little boy or that he had a sister. We were here in America. "Lord, give us a family." And He had put me over Harvest Kids. And I thought, okay, well, these are my children. But He knew all things, and He took the prayer of a little boy and the prayer of a couple who didn't know how a family would be created, and He brought them together for good. And today we're ready to send our daughter off to another country. And that will all work out for good too, I'm sure. But we've got to trust Him. We have to trust Him. The next thing we have to do as believers in our walk for obedience is love the Lord. The Bible says we show our love for Him by obeying His command. And not just when they are convenient, when they're desirable, or when they feel good. If we look at 1 John 5:3, it says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." Serving God should not be a burden. Should not be a burden. We need to learn to listen to Him. When we set that time aside each day for prayer, make sure you've got some time to hear Him. In all of my years of doing children's ministry, I have said to all of the kids, and they could probably recite this back, it is a scientific fact that your ears cannot hear when your mouth is going. And so if we're doing all the talking, how can God speak to you and you hear Him? Proverbs 1:33 says, "But whoever listens to me dwells safely and will be secure without fear of evil." Don't we all just want our lives to be safe and secure, and that of our children be safe and secure? Proverbs, it says, just listen. In our walk to obedience, we need to be courageous. Obeying God does take courage. Because you know what? Sometimes following Him leads to conflict. But you must be willing to do what is right anyway. I don't know how many times I've heard that, you know, a person say or a family say, we're, you know, following God, and the rest of my family has, you know, pretty much deserted us because they think we're crazy. They think we're off our rockers. But you got to be courageous. And sometimes you lose friends, you lose family along the way. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." If God is with you in every battle, what do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? Be courageous. Be courageous. My brothers and sisters, we need in this time in our world, we need to fully surrender. Each and every one of us needs to fully surrender to Him. We need to stop living part of our lives for us. Because what can you really do for yourself? Really? God does it all. Fully surrender. Boy, that's tough. Those are tough words to say. Those are tough words to live by because, boy, I don't know about you, but myself gets in the way 99% of the day. I'm in the way of what God wants to do. But I do know that when we fully surrender, we will be blessed. You will experience victory in your life. If you follow His will, you will be victorious. You will be successful. You will be successful. Even if the world doesn't consider you successful. We get wrapped up in this world. The world defines who we're to be, what we're to look like, what is success. If we're fully surrendered to Him, we are successful. We are successful. In Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 through 9, it says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." He told us he was with us in Deuteronomy, and he's still with us in Joshua. Why should we doubt he's going to be with us? But it says in here, if we observe, obey, to do according to all that is written, we will make our ways prosperous and have good success. How many of you want to prosper? I do. I do. How many of us want to be successful? I do. He tells us in Joshua what we have to do. Observe. Obey. Obey. Our obedience is going to lead to a supernatural peace within us. We'll have joy in every circumstance. Even when we don't think life is all that great, we will have joy. Because there is a difference between joy and happiness. Joy is deep within. Spiritual growth and maturity are going to be the results of a believer who walks with God and obeys His commandments. We will prosper and be successful if we obey God's word and walk with Him through every circumstance. Even the circumstances that may be crummy and not feel so good. We will prosper and have success, have victory. God will even use us when we are not adequate. Or at least we think we're not adequate. Honestly, I've come to believe I really can't do anything. But I can do all things through Jesus Christ. As you move forward, as you make important decisions, you can't rely on your own reasoning. Definitely can't rely on the opinions of others. And we probably shouldn't rely on what's worked in the past. But what we need to do is get on our knees before the Lord and pour out our hearts. Spend time in prayer and in the Word, listening for that voice, and follow His specific guidance for our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, we have instructions. Don't just open it on Sunday morning. If we are waiting for a feeling, or until we feel good enough to do what God calls us to do, you know what? Life is going to pass you by. Okay. There is probably not a morning that I do not wake up that I do not feel great physically. Something aches or hurts somewhere. And so if I waited to feel great, ain't going to happen. Don't let opportunities pass you by. If we obey God and leave all the consequences to Him, your life will be changed. You will be amazed at the things that the Lord will accomplish in your life. And I'm not standing here saying that, you know, some of you are like, I'm not called to stand at the pulpit. I'm not called to lead children's church. I'm not talking about the big things. I'm talking about all the little things that we maybe aren't so obedient in. He wants to do great things in each of your lives. And He doesn't care how old you are. You might be sitting here and you're 9 years old. God has a plan to do great things for you if you're obedient. You might be sitting here and you are 84 years old. And you think, oh, what can God do with me? He has great things that He can do. And He desires to do. Wyatt, if you can come forward. You know, Jesus knows our hearts. He knows your heart. And, you know, if you look at the Word from the very beginning, disobedience entered the Word. People were disobedient. And from the beginning, then, He told us to be obedient. He knows your heart. He knows your struggles. He desires us to be obedient and to serve Him. Jesus walked on this earth and served us, served the people. God desires obedience to serve. This morning, if you are struggling in anything and you desire prayer, come forward, pray with you. If you just feel you need to do some business at the altar is open. If you're sitting in your seat and saying, I've not accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I want this thing that you're talking about, today is the day. Don't wait till tomorrow. Or maybe you have drifted away. Today is the day to come back.